Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Hey everybody, this episode of The Horror Show is brought to you by our Patreon sponsors. Without them, you know, none of this is going on. None of this is happening. I forget where we left off. So, Christian James Gillum, John V. I definitely did them last week, but that is okay. And we also have Megan Nisbet? On Mrs. Nesbitt, name that movie, Toy Story. And a man, maybe not a man, could be a woman. I just said man, I don't know why. But they go by GC. So guys, all y'all, thank you so much for your support. This week, we are doing The House on Sorority Row. This is available on Amazon Prime. I think it's also on Shudder. I'm not really sure. But definitely on Amazon Prime. The week after, we are doing The Stuff. And that is definitely on Shudder. So check those out. Come back. Listen to us. Or just listen to us. Who cares? I mean, if I, you know, whatever. It's up to you. It's your life. You do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? Who am I to say? Anyway. Enjoy this episode.
Okay, I stopped paying attention in class. I was thinking about the adventures of Ash, about the misfortune of sinning kids at Crystal Lake. Became addicted straight away with the initial tape. God bless Betamax. VHS, holy like Amanda Kruger. I was introduced to genre flicks by Tobe Hooper. I started craving more just like Larry the Looter. I collected VHS without commentary or bloopers. Throw computers, magazines, a bunch of stores. Spent my money on movies and begged my mom for more. I'd watch the boys kill those Astro bastards 5 times a day or even more. I loved the gore. Lionel and Paquita combined their lonely hearts. I was hellbound, Cenobites tore my soul apart. I've seen them all, from Dracula to Vertigo. Listen up, welcome to The Horror Show with Sean and Joe.
Hello everybody and welcome to The Horror Show. It dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror-related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Well, we're back.
Yeah.
I say that every fucking week. Or actually really just, I don't know, whatever. So we did Basket Case 2. We're on a roll of, we've been on a roll of movies we really liked.
Yeah.
And by roll.
Was it two?
Two.
Yeah. it's continuing for
but
me.
But there's been a string of two every, at least every 2 weeks we get one that we really like.
And we record two at a time. We are doing House on Sorority Row, and we're doing The Stuff. I was expecting to like one more than the other. I was not expecting The Final Verdict.
Same, same. Now, The Stuff, very popular.
It is.
Did you check its like Letterboxd rating? Did you log it yet or no?
No, I didn't.
I'm just curious what it has on Letterboxd. Letterboxd is like my new go-to to see what people rate it. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It's a good gauge.
It's more of like the common folk.
I feel like it is. It really is. It's just a simps on the bottom. Just, yeah. Although I told you there's a Reddit for Letterboxd, of course, because there's fucking Reddit for everything. There's a Reddit for Letterboxd and people are fucking uptight about Letterboxd reviews.
Well, that's Reddit.
So never mind. We just solved all this. But I couldn't believe it because I was looking up. It's got 3.1 on Letterboxd. So, and it's dead. Like almost everything is in the 3-star rating and just spread out. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about that when we talk about this. But the Reddit, the Letterboxd Reddit, was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Like, people were really fucking uptight about the reviews that they post on the front page. of Letterboxd? Because I think they may have a similar system to Rotten Tomatoes where they have curated reviewers.
Sure. Rate Your Music does that too. Yeah.
Okay. So like your top reviewers, they're putting up front for everyone to see. And these people were so fucking mad. So fucking mad. It was a thread that I read and I had no idea what they were even talking about, but it was just fascinating how angry people can be.
What a conundrum.
How angry people can be online. And I was just like, why are you re-? Like, you literally can read any review on Letterboxd.
Just go to the movie. Just go browse.
It was so fucking weird.
You sort by
It was so anything. Fucking weird. And it was like really a political thing. Like it was like these fucking liberal reviews they put on the front of Letterboxd. I was like,
wow.
It was crazy. It was fucking crazy. Which also, I mean, come on. It's film. Of course it's like a liberal industry. It's fucking art. I don't know.
Who gives a shit?
Also, who gives
a shit? I've never read a review on the front page.
I've never read a review. That was my main thing. Was I was like, I didn't even know. When they said that, I was like, oh shit, I think they do have reviews on the front page. But yeah, that was my first thing. And my second thing was like, I don't think I've ever read a review where I was like, fucking liberal fucking review. Like, they're talking about a movie. Like, it's just their interpretation of it. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, it's getting too fucking political. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I barely read reviews on Letterboxd. I only look at the reviews for the movies I'm watching.
Sure.
And I browse them and see. That's it, though.
Like, see what other people thought. If you have the same thought.
Yeah. See how bad Matt Ryan's review is compared to ours. Matt emailed me. It was really funny. We talked about Matt like 2 weeks in a row, now three in a row. Fan of the show, Matt Ryan. He messaged me. And I saw it really fast on my phone, and it said something about how he thought we were mad at him. And I was like,
oh, we are.
I was like, oh shit. I was like, fucking poor guy. So I was like, I thought it was like, I don't know. But then he was like, oh no, I realized you guys weren't mad at me after the last one.
Idiot.
Sucker. Took the fucking bait. No, but I thought he was like upset that we made fun of his reviews and that I call it his reviews every time. But they're so fucking high. They're so fucking high. And I know I was there, Matt. I was fucking there not long ago.
Yes.
Not long ago. I was in your shoes. We just have to train you.
Your reviews are a fucking nightmare.
I mean, some of them causing
people to lose sleep.
Dude, I fucking tell everyone that story.
What movie was it?
It was The Greasy Strangler. Because the review was, it was like 4.5 stars. It was like,
oh, somebody had the balls.
Finally, somebody had the balls to make this film.
You know, I agree with Mike.
Sydney lost sleep. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Dude, losing, that's worse than the Reddit guys. Like, or I guess it's on par because those guys are really fucking mad. And Mike didn't message me 100 times, just once, being like, are you fucking kidding me? Anyway. Well, we're talking about the house in Sorority Row this week.
Yeah, we are. 20 minutes later.
This movie, not a lot to talk about with House on Sorority Row in terms of... I couldn't believe there was a remake, first of all.
Yeah, I remember when it came out.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fucking crazy.
Didn't see it, but I remember it was coming out. Because, of course, as is the internet, people were mad about it. Like the diehard original House on Sorority Row.
I mean, I'll be honest. I didn't really give a shit about this movie.
Oh, you know, before when I was saying I didn't expect to like one more than the other, I like this one more than this.
Yeah,
I
know.
Oh, okay. I want to make sure.
I know. I mean, I like this a lot more than I like The Stuff. I did not like The Stuff at all. But I wasn't the biggest fan of this movie either. I was expecting
it was kind of fun.
Man, with a name like House on Sorority Row, I need more
boobies.
I need more. Well, fucking yeah. I mean,
pillow fights.
You know, Slumber Party Massacre. There's a connotation. I'm expecting. If you put it in a sorority, if you put it in a slumber party, you know, we're expecting certain things.
Sure. I don't know. I had a fun time.
It was okay. I mean, it was fine. It was all right. I don't know. It was fine. Anyway, let's get into this fucking movie. We open up with the bluest fucking screen I've ever seen in my life.
I thought something was wrong.
Dude, it actually hurt my... Because after, you know, it did the initial sequence in blue, and I was like, obviously it was a flashback.
Did you catch the year of the flashback?
No.
It was 1962. It might as well have been like 1740.
Okay. That's what I was going to say, because I'm so glad you caught the year on that. Because they are using the most unmodern technology.
It was baffling. Dude. It's like using leeches. Like, it's 1960. It's only 20 years before this movie took place.
He cleans a scalpel with a candle.
With a candle. No, he's not even cleaning it. Not he's heating it up to make the incision.
A flame. A fucking, not even like just a clean flame. Not even like a fucking wax candle that's just by the bedside, which is their light source.
Yes. That's why I thought something was wrong and I wrote down the year. 20 years prior.
Holy shit. All right. Well, and it's fucking blue as hell.
We had so much technology in 1962.
We were putting people on the moon.
7 years from then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, when was the moon?
69.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure it was in the 60s. Okay. I just want to make
sure. No. You're like reinforcing your point. Like, we were seven years away from being on the moon.
I felt like an idiot. If you were going to say it was the 70s, I was going to fucking kill myself.
But I mean, it wouldn't have been that big of a difference.
Paul would have been so mad. or is he only mad about fucking...
Psycho, not knowing the year Psycho came out. We were off by 1 year. It came out 61 instead of 60. So he was embarrassed.
Embarrassed for us. Yeah. Turned off the episode. Oh, you know what else I want to fucking say real quick? I meant to say this at the beginning of the fucking episode, at the top of the episode. We have a ton of new listeners, like, recently. Like, influx of new listeners. Which is crazy. Cool. Because I've done less promoting ever, and our numbers have gone.
Well,
so
yeah,
maybe I
it's
should
all bullshit.
Keep my mouth fucking shut. It shows you social media means fucking nothing. Like, it's just a fucking joke. But anyway, what I wanted to say, though, was because we get these listeners, and people are not grasping what this show is. Like, it's fucking crazy. Like, the people that don't like it, which is very few and far between. But, guys, this literally is me and Joe talking. This isn't... Don't come here for facts.
Oh, so we're not scholars. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Right. Well, don't come here for fucking the Blumhouse podcast where they're going to like talk about like the ins and outs of a fucking movie.
Right. No, this is
like, it's fucking weird to like listen to a whole episode and be like, these guys don't know anything. You're right. This is just me, Joe, and talking. So for new listeners, I just want to make sure they know, you know, like, I'm not trying to talk shit, but this is a conversation.
Sure.
Like we used to have in the basement of the mansion at Eastern.
Correct.
And then Paul would run in and be like, "Whoa, like, get the fuck out of here, Paul." All right. So anyway, it's bright fucking blue. It's a flashback, like we said. The blue stays on the screen so long. I thought something was broken. I thought I was watching a bad copy, and then my eyes like were about to start bleeding. It hurt my fucking eyes. But a woman is writhing in bed. She's pregnant. A doctor walks in and he's fucking pissed. He's like, "What the fuck is going on here?" Super annoyed. But he says, "There's, you know, get her ready. We can maybe save whatever's happening here." So obviously they're talking about the baby. And he says, "She's the last one." He pulls out the scalpel, cleans it over or whatever, heats it up by a fucking flame. By the way, this is like, we'll learn this guy's like doing experiments and shit. So like, he has the technology.
He's just choosing
not to use it. And then we hear the woman, the woman goes out. She wakes up, her eyes open. "Where's my baby? Where's my baby?"
He says, "I'm sorry.
I'm sorry."
And she screams, "No."
And we get the O for like way too long to the point where it sounded mechanical. Like, I was like, is that a piano at this point? Because it's just like, Oh,
I also want to point out that he calls her Mrs. Slater here.
Mrs. Slater.
Who is the like main woman? Tina thought that was a twist. My wife thought that was a twist. She's like, "That's the same one." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. They literally said that in the opening 5 minutes."
Holy shit. That's amazing. Watching movies with Tina must be the best. Dude, speaking of that, because we go to the cult classics and we've sat next to a guy that like... acts like he
was not prepared to see horror movies at horror, like strictly horror movie showings. He shows up and he's like, holy shit.
I hate when people talk. Right. I hate when people make noises. Any but noise. This guy gets a pass because he's...
It makes me so happy.
The noises are genuine.
Yes.
It's as if he has never seen a movie before.
It is like anything... Like, I forget. It was a Black Christmas and they were getting... Like somebody got stabbed and it was just like a little stab. And he was like, holy shit. Actually, he doesn't swear. It was like, holy cow. Holy cow. Oh my God. He just says shit like that. And it's fucking amazing. But I went to see The Strangers too. And there was a guy doing the same thing. A grown-ass man that was like, oh my God. Like, anytime somebody was killed. And it was genuine. And I was like, what did this guy think he was going to see?
My favorite part about the guy at Cult Classics is he doesn't scream like he's terrified. He's just more like confused by like the character choices. Like, oh, why is he going in there?
Holy cow. It is crazy. Like, he's just like, oh my goodness. Like totally baffled by the whole thing.
Yeah.
I just fucking love it. Oh, man. Your wife is the same way. Well, she's not the same way, but she gets got.
Yeah.
She gets got, like, by the director. She falls for all the twists and shit.
She does.
And that's fun to sit next to somebody that watches a movie like that.
It is. And then, like, in the stuff, she'll be like, oh, that's the security guard from Santa with Muscles. I'm like, which is that can't be true. And then I look it up and it 100% is.
Which is insane. Insane. Oh, fuck. All right. So... Baby ain't right. Baby's gone. Mrs. Slater's devastated.
Now, you assume the baby was dead, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I mean, he says, I'm sorry, and she's screaming.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's what they wanted you to believe. Obviously, I kind of knew that there was going to be a twist with that.
See, I didn't.
Oh, you did? I knew. I knew for sure because he didn't have the baby. It wasn't like he was like...
Did you want me to walk around with it?
Jesus Christ.
I mean, what do you want him to do?
No, I don't know. Like, because he didn't actually even say it was dead. He was just like, I'm sorry. Like,
well, I mean, that implies,
but also, it also cracks me up. I actually have a note about this later on. It cracks me up how honest horror directors are because they leave that shit in there, I think, on purpose. Like, they're like, well, he's not saying that it's dead. You know what I mean? When, like, if that guy in that situation, that guy's like, oh, yeah, Miss Slater, your baby, you lost your baby. But like in this, it's like, I'm sorry, Mrs. Slater. Like, you won't say.
He just didn't finish the sentence.
Yeah. And also, and later on, we'll see a scene with the killer, the twist with the killer. I'll save it for when I get there. But I was just like, directors are way too honest. It's so silly. Like, it's like they don't want to confuse. Like, it's so fucking weird. But anyway, we are way off fucking track today. We're like,
it's all good, 15
minutes in. So we meet our sorority house. They're graduating. They're going to have a party. They're going to have a big old party. And we meet Katie.
I didn't write down a single one of their names.
Katie, I think I wrote down a significant amount of them for some reason. Katie is our lead. Katie Rose. As much as the lead as you can have in this, because they kind of all carry the load, really.
They do.
Even though she's kind of the final girl in the movie. They all are equally shown in the movie.
To start, there's actually like more way stronger more, presence.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of wild. It's really interesting, actually. It kept your interest more because, yeah. Because it could have gone any way, really, when you think about it.
It could have. Like,
yeah. So Katie Rose, she's talking to her mom. Her mom wants her to move home. She wants to stay until Friday to go to this party. Her sorority mates got her a date. Which comes into play for only one, absolutely one reason, which is that boy will die.
Yes.
That's the only significance of this date. But we cut to the doctor again. He's a little older, a little more mature. Still pissed, though. Still fucking pissed. And he's talking to Mrs. Slater.
Yes.
I can kind of see how Tina thought it was a surprise because... There is a weird element to it where they're...
Well, they said her name, so I cannot.
I guess. But she looks so different. She looks so different. She's a very old lady now. And she's got a cane. She's having trouble. She's talking...
This is only 20-year difference.
Holy shit. She looks elderly. It's crazy. And she's talking about how she wants to leave and move and retire and she's done. And the doctor's fucking pissed. And it's weird because we're kind of in the dark for this. They do this whole scene and you're like, who is that? What's the doctor mad about? Like, it was so, like, they literally just left you hanging.
Yes.
Because the doctor's like, you know, you can't do that. And you're just like, what the fuck is going on? So they did a pretty good job hiding all those ins and outs in it. And the doctor's like, you have to make sure you wear this tag on your neck. She's like, I guess. And we don't know what that is. Shit was so vague. We meet Vicky and her boyfriend who are making out and shooting guns.
Yes.
That'll come into play in a minute.
It will.
But for a couple minutes, we just get to see him firing guns into a barn and just fucking shooting guns. Back to the sorority house. So these chicks are drinking, getting weird with it.
I mean, it wasn't that wild.
No, they were sitting in a circle. They're sitting in a circle.
Yeah. It was the most calm college girl drinking.
If you walked in on your college child drinking and that was the scene, I'd be like, thank God. Yeah, thank fucking God. They're not doing anything.
Anything I did.
Anything remotely close to what I did. This is a blessing. Like, yeah. God, would you like another drink? Like, fuck. Miss Slater. She ain't about it.
No, she's pissed.
She ain't about it. She fucking pissed. She says this is her house and they're going to get the fuck out of there. No party Friday. You're getting the fuck out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then the girls learn that she's retiring and they're kind of split about, she's the house mom.
Yep.
Also way too old to be doing it. Well, I guess not way too old, but just appears to be way too elderly to do it. She's the house mom. And so they're kind of split though. Half of them kind of love her. Half of them kind of hate her. And that's just kind of the way it is. Yeah. But I don't even know if the people hate her even. They're just kind of like, she was such a bitch sometimes. I think
they're just sick of her shit. They're ready to move on.
They're ready to move on. They're definitely ready to move on. Yeah, so we kind of get an understanding of what's going on now a little bit. So she's retiring. She wants to get the fuck out of this house, which was also clearly the house that she lost her child in.
Yes.
So that there's a reason for her wanting to get out of there. We also see the sorority mom, though, they're kind of leading on that the sorority mom's a little cuckoo bananas. She just starts tearing up in the middle of the night. She wakes up, gets up and starts tearing up all the old sorority photos, lighting them on fire.
With a ridiculous theme song in the background.
The music in this was fucking crazy. The music in this was so fucking crazy. But she's tearing up all these old pictures. She's fucking pissed. Gun nuts come back, though. Girl gun nut runs up ahead. Guy follows her. She's laying on the bed. She says something I could not figure out, though. I rewound it like a dozen times to figure out what the fuck she was saying. And it was like, a good daddy bought his little girl.
I have no clue.
It was fucking crazy. It bothered me so much. I think it was maybe look what daddy bought his little girl. Maybe she was talking about
makes
the bed.
Makes way more sense.
Maybe. Oh, she might have been talking about the bed because she's really hot about that bed break.
Yes.
She's really fucking hot about it. Because the girl opens the condom. The guy comes in. The girl opens the condom wrapper with her mouth. That's fucking gross. That fucking shit that's on a condom is like the most vile fucking chemical.
Yeah. What is that? Spermicide. Is that what it is?
I think it's
can't
like,
be back
I think
then.
I think it's lube. I think it's well. Maybe oh, yeah, they just that makes sense. Maybe they just had like maybe they just had like dry condoms.
I don't know. I haven't used a condom in like 25 years.
I just it's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy to me. It's just fucking gross, man. This shit fucking stinks. Anyway, house mom. These two are going at it on the waterbed. House mom walks in. And literally tries to kill this girl with her fucking cane.
So she doesn't. She's going right for the bed, but the way that they make it, you're like, oh, fuck, she's going to stab her. But she's just it's not any less alarming that this woman entered a room and stabbed a waterbed like that.
It might be more alarming. She stabs the waterbed, tears it, water's fucking everywhere. And she's, you're filthy. Your filth trash like you doesn't belong in my house.
The girl's literally screaming, I'm going to kill you.
Yes. Not great. Not a good look. Not a good look. So the girls want to fuck this lady up. They want to do something to her, but they're like, let's prank her.
It is kind of interesting, though, that some of the girls were like, you totally deserve that. Like, you shouldn't have been on that waterbed.
It was crazy. Yeah. They were like, it's fucking insane. That waterbed probably cost a fucking fortune. Second, they were like, why don't you just fuck anywhere else but here?
Yeah. Exactly.
And I was like, I kind of got the point, but I was also like,
but she shouldn't have stabbed that.
But also, like, you know, she's a nut. Just go fuck that. Why doesn't that guy have a house?
I mean, again, there's literally any other place.
In college, you will fuck anywhere.
Correct.
So anyway, they discuss this harmless, they discuss a bunch of harmless prank ideas. I think they said like water over the door, glue on the toilet seat, they suggested. And I was like,
yeah, that's not harmless.
That's not harmless.
That pissed me off.
That was the most fucked up thing. I was like, Jesus Christ. Because they say the glue on the toilet seat and the gun nut's like, that's it. And I was like, oh my God. I was honestly like, that's terrible to do to this old woman. Like, your skin's going to get fucking rip off. And it turned out to be a way worse prank that she had actually thought of. I thought she was talking about the toilet seat prank. But they come up with another idea.
Which is ridiculous.
Fucking literally insane in idea and execution.
Correct.
They are done so piss
poor. They are criminals.
Yeah, 100%. So... it's fucking crazy. So Vicky the Gun Nut starts showing these girls. Also, we do get a cut to the doctor who's talking to, I don't even know. He's like doing, he's doing like notes, like doctor notes, like into the dictaphone and explaining Mrs. Slater's issues. And he's saying how she could be, she's lost her fucking marbles. And she's violent, prone to violence, especially in a traumatic situation. She could turn lethally violent in a situation like that. So they're setting up what you're expecting at this point.
And just to be clear, you were expecting the prank to go awry and Mrs. Slater to kill all of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 100%.
Yes.
I mean, there was something still in me with the baby. Like, I was like, the baby's going to come into play eventually.
See, I thought that she just kind of lost her mind and the doctor was, because of the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
The doctor was keeping tabs on her because she was mentally unstable.
I mean, I think if I saw it like that and I didn't think about the baby, maybe I would have liked it more. Because that would have fucking shocked the shit out of me.
I did not see it coming.
That's fucking crazy. That's fucking crazy. Yeah, man. So the next day, these girls decide to pull a prank on her involving the fucking pistol that this fucking gun nut has been carrying around since the beginning of the movies. This gal loves this pistol so much.
Yeah.
We don't know what the prank is, though, but it's going to involve this gun, and that's a bad idea.
Oh, it never works out well.
Never. So the next day, they're by the pool. Miss Slater comes out just to fucking yell at him. Just to fucking yell at him.
Yeah.
They throw her cane in the pool and they say, go fucking get it. Which is already like, it was like breaking my heart to do this to like an elderly person. I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? This is so mental. Yeah,
that's not a prank.
It's cruel.
Remember the time you sent me the thing of the wrestler Sting just walking out and just being like, you got pranked.
But oh my God.
Yeah. This is less of a prank than him just walking out saying that.
There was this Disney, it was like a Disney quick show on YouTube. And it was this prank involving the wrestler Sting.
It was just a kid and his babysitter. And the kid's like, I'm going to go change and like come out in my wrestling gear. And it was just, he walked into like
his a box fort,
and Sting walked out and he just goes, you got a prank. That's not a prank. Like, he didn't even give her a chance to be shocked.
No, he just walked out and screamed.
To tie this into this movie, just take somebody's thing and throw it into a pool and be like, you got pranked.
You go get it.
Nobody knows what a prank is anymore.
No, they really don't. And I feel like it might have been because of those shows like Pranked and shit, where it's just like cruel fucking shit. Although Pranked was more pranks.
What was Pranked? Oh, Punked?
Punked, yeah, sorry.
Oh, Punked was definitely more. I thought about Punked the other day. I'm digressing, but I think it was Dax Shepard. He went to a former NFL player was doing something for kids. And he was like, hey, can you show me how you would like form tackle someone? And the guy was like, oh yeah, you would just walk up and like put your shoulder in. And like, he makes the most minimum contact. And Dak just falls down and lies on his face for like an hour until like all the people leave. And the guy's just standing there like so distraught because he's not moving. He's just face down. Now that's a fucking prank. Take notes, idiots.
You're right. I don't know where it came from then, but something fucked up. And people think pranks are just abuse now.
Yeah.
Our friends think things.
Oh, yeah. Buzz is like the king of this kind of prank.
He thinks just straight abuse is a prank. As long as you say prank afterwards.
Then it's, yeah. Yeah. He subscribes to these girls.
If you laugh after it, yeah. It's fine. So this woman is like, are you fucking kidding me? And the gun nut pulls a fucking pistol on her and is like, go get your fucking cane. Like, it's a fucking holdup.
And, like, go, she's saying, like, go into the pool with all your clothes on.
Like, all your clothes on. Get in right fucking now. Jump in and get your fucking cane yourself. And she's like, if that's a gun, you're in so much trouble. Lady, you better take it easy. So, to prove that it's real, she goes, turns around, shoots the light.
Yep.
Fucking shatters. Then all the girls are like, yo, this is too much. This is too much. Stop. Like, this is fucking crazy. Like, you can't be firing the gun. I don't know why firing it is all of a sudden more dangerous than pointing it at her. Like,
look. Well, I mean.
But in the midst of this thing, she like pulls the gun back and shoots her fucking friend in the fucking foot.
Yes.
And you're like, get the fuck out of here. So we got one friend down, her friend. And now at this point, the lady's like, all right, I'll go get the fucking cane. She's standing there. Girl turns to her. Pop, 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 pop. Old lady falls in the pool.
Yep.
And you're like, holy shit, that was shot fucking shit out of crazy. Shot three times. But the teacher emerges. All a fucking prank.
It was, she had blanks in the gun. The girl that got shot used what, ketchup?
Yep.
All a prank.
Yeah. All a prank.
So,
but, and also we are using the prank just for what their purpose is. The girls, the other sorority girls didn't know either.
No, they kept it.
Only two of them knew.
Correct.
So they're pissed too. They're like, what the fuck? So the old lady
whacks her with a cane,
fucking clubs her, brains her with it. And the girl falls and shoots the lady for real this time.
Yeah, there's not a blank.
That's called a dusty finish in the biz.
The more you know.
Anyway, she's fucking dead. Fucking killed her.
Yeah.
My question, why would you load a gun with just... So the first bullet was real.
Yep.
So she had to load it in a... Just use all blanks. First bullet real and then blanks. And then they were like, well, let's not waste all the blanks. Let's just fill the rest with real bullets, of course.
No, I mean, I think like, well, I'm not going to quote my dad as a source for anything. He's an idiot. But like, you know, he used to tell me a lot of people that he knew that thought they put in all blanks, but like missed
that's,
one or something.
You're very true. I mean, that's how, what's his name died? Brandon Lee.
Yes.
And the Crow.
Yeah.
One guy, they were like, whoa, they were supposed to be all blanks. It's like, how the fuck do you not set? How the fuck do
why,
you not?
Why
was there a real bullet?
Yes, on a movie set.
What the fuck? Anyway, so she's dead. Now, the girls don't know what to fucking do. They're debating it. This was actually my favorite element of the movie was this whole, I don't know what you'd compare it to. What is 12 Angry Men kind of thing where it's like fighting, like just the infighting about what to do.
Well, 12 Angry Men, they're trying to find a verdict.
Right.
Or trying to
hide a murder. Yeah. I feel like there's a movie like that where it's like a bunch of people.
I'm sure there's a very prominent one that we're just not thinking of.
Yeah. Anyway,
every movie ever.
Every murder movie. Anyway, where innocent people accidentally murdered somebody.
I just liked that element in this, and they all played it really well. And because there were so many of them, it was fun to see them sort of aligning and realigning with ideas. And some of them liked it, some of them didn't. And it was a really, I don't know. I just really liked that element of it. But they decide ultimately on the worst plan ever, which is, hey, let's just keep her in the pool overnight, just for the night.
There is so much wooded area around them.
They could have hit her.
Roll her anywhere.
And the idea was to leave her overnight and then call the cops, as if the cops aren't going to be like, hey, it looks like she's been in your pool all night after you shot her by accident. Like, what the fuck? That's like the worst, like, let's just wait till morning scenario ever.
Yeah.
I can't help them with that one.
But that's what they decide on. And then they go to a party.
Then they throw the lamest fucking party of all time with the lamest band ever.
You know, like 4 out of 5 doctors.
Is that the name of the band?
Yeah.
Is that a real band?
Yeah.
Dude, that dude had a Fred Jones scarf from Scooby-Doo. I was not feeling that. I hate that look. That looks suck.
Fucking new wave.
Fucking new wave, man. Oh, they're a bunch of geeks. And the girls at this party are so turned on. Every guy at this party, listen, I know I'm famous for it, but these dudes are fucking ugly as sin at this party. These dudes are some of the most unattractive folk I've ever seen in my life.
I didn't notice, except for the guy in the tidy whities. Yes.
Which was appalling. Everything about it was appalling. All these guys were ugly, and they're like, oh, man. He is so cute. But none of this fucking matters.
That is correct.
But we do get our first kill.
Yeah.
Finally, first we see a hand wringing out wet clothing. Slater's out of the pool. She's wet. Catch my drift. She's wet. She's wringing out her clothes.
Horned up.
She's horned up. 4 out of 5 doctors she can't get enough of. She's wringing out her clothes. So she's up. And then we hear this drunk guy walking around drunk, just talking about squirrels. And he catches a fucking cane to the throat.
Yep.
The Mrs. Punk, Slater's
that cane. Is a dangerous cane.
That is the most dangerous cane. She will use it for every kill in the movie.
Yeah. I like it.
I liked it. And then I didn't. Because after the third one where she was just poking people with her cane, poking people to death.
No, I appreciate commitment.
I mean, dude, literally.
I'm a creature of habit myself.
Literally, my notes were said like, oh, I love that she's using the same weapon over and over again. There's something charming about that. And after like the third or fourth one, I was like, okay. Seen enough of the cane. I would like to see something else now, please. But yeah, so first death, party goer. All right. Katie meets her dorky date and who cares? Nobody. He'll come back later, I guess. You ever go on a blind date? This is a blind date, by the way, that they're on.
I have.
How'd it go?
I don't know. I was drunk.
You got drunk before a blind date?
Yeah. It was in college. Of course I did.
It's a bad idea. Blind dates.
It worked out well.
I've only had one bad blind date. And it was bad. Fucking bad. Really fucking bad. I can't really go into the details.
I mean, like, mine, calling it a blind date, like, you're just in college. Like, you know? Like, I didn't meet you before.
So, so I'm confused. So, it wasn't.
I know someone's like, hey, come out, and this girl's gonna come out.
Oh, so that's a blind date.
You're right. No, I know that. I'm agreeing. I'm just saying, like I feel
it's not
like,
so bad when right, you're right, like, it's like, who cares?
Right. If you're like our age right now,
I guess you're right.
Like, if like I was single and you were like my a relative's friend was coming out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You two get a table together.
You're right. You're right. Cause that's kind of how it goes these days, huh? It's not really so much the setup. Dates, I think, were more important back then.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because now it's just like you just go out. Yeah. So that's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, because that's how it is now. It's just like go out. And if you don't like them, you literally, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because it's like a friend scenario.
Yeah. So and I'm saying even more so when you're in college.
Yeah.
You know, if it didn't work out, I was already drunk.
I still have
some. Go fuck. Go to the bar.
I'll find somebody who will suck it.
Oh, no, don't say that.
I'm willing to leave it. I'm
going
to
leave edit that.
Back at the party, two guys are about to throw a girl in the pool against her will. Against her will. It's like the meanest shit I've ever seen. Oh, wait. No, it's more mean because the girls run over and they're like, hey, let her go. And they're like, all right. And they back away. And then they just shove a girl in the pool. Like, just so hard. Just like, and he's like, and walks away. Like, another classic college prank.
By the way, we were talking about how Buzz, like, subscribes to these kind of pranks. Yes. We got a, like, big pool in the front yard of the mansion, and and Buzz was literally just pushing people into it and yelling prank. About them getting pranked. Oh, my.
Well, of course. So the girls were panicked when those guys were by the pool because they're like, oh, shit, she's in there. They're going to see it.
They didn't want the lights to come on.
Which is weird because the pool is the most dirty, filthy pool I've ever seen. There's literally plants on top of the fucking water.
That is true. But, I mean, it was it's a bubbled up corpse. Corpse.
Yeah. So they decide, let's kill the lights. Somebody go do that. So they send this girl in. And she gets fucked up downstairs. She goes to find the circuit breaker to kill it. And another cane kill, man, just poking the shit out of her. It was a true prison shanking. It was just like pop, 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 pop. Just plug her.
Yeah.
It was nice.
It was.
Well, the gun nut guy's back. And the only reason I took this note was because the conversation was the funniest shit I've ever read. Because he goes up to his girlfriend. He's like, hey, where's my gun? So I'm like, oh, he doesn't know. She's like, yeah, it's upstairs. He's like, oh, how'd that prank go? I'd be like, if she like, and she was like acting all panicked. Imagine you give your gun to your girlfriend. She's like, oh, it's upstairs. And you're like, well, how'd the prank go? And they're like, fine. You'd be like, you need to fucking tell me everything about what you're hiding.
Or right just now. Leave the country. just book it.
Or just flee. Yeah. What a fucking nightmare. What a fucking nightmare. Those gross dudes that were shoving girls in the water are now in their fucking underwear, which is way grosser than just skinny dipping. Fucking, oh man, fucking, you come out of the fucking pool, you got fucking tidy whities on. You just see the dick. You might as well have just skinny dip.
What did you see it?
No, because they didn't get out of the water. Because remember, he's just laying there and he's like, I'm a sea pig.
I did not remember that. And I wish it stayed that way.
Every girl comes running because they're fucking playing in the pool and the lights are on. And he's got the bag in his hands. No body.
Right.
Body's fucking gone. They run into the kitchen and they have this amazing scene of infighting of she's alive.
Our
people being like, that's fucking impossible. And arguing about whether she's dead, whether she's not. If she isn't dead, which she's clearly not because she's not in the fucking pool. They came to such logical conclusions.
However, they didn't because she was shot.
And drowned.
Gagged and drowned. So she's most definitely dead.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. But like, what would you think if a fucking dead body disappears?
Fuck. I would think I'm not staying here one more second.
Oh my god. And Katie's like freaking out and she's like, I'm calling the cops. Vicky's like, nah man, Katie's fucking soft as doo-doo. she ain't gonna call the cops. And they're just gonna canvass the area because in their head they're like, hey man, she ain't gonna get away. If she's alive, she ain't going anywhere fast, so we should be able to track her down and find her. This is maybe, I shouldn't say one of my favorite, but maybe one of the better slasher setups for splitting people up. I was just watching, it was the new Strangers. And they're being threatened by somebody. And they're like, we need to split up. Why the fuck would you split up?
You wouldn't.
You would never do that. No. It, the strangest, it was honestly lunacy. It was fucking, it, I honestly out loud groaned because I was like, this is fucking crazy.
You didn't like that movie, right?
It was so fucking bad. It was so fucking bad. A husband and brother, older brother, are like, all right, you women stay here. We're going to go take a look somewhere else. They were threatened in their own residence and they fucking leave. And I was like, this is the worst fucking plan I've ever fucking heard of in my life. This one is an amazing setup where they're like, I loved it, where they're like, we need to look around and we need to fucking spread out to find this fucking bitch roaming around, shot up. She's going to get us in trouble. A totally logical reason for everyone to split up and get offed one by one by one. You know what I mean? There was no reason for them to think. Well, there's no reason to think they were going to get murdered.
Right.
Either. So it was great. And no one played afraid either until it got like into creepy situations. So everyone was just like looking for Mrs. Slater and it made perfect fucking sense. And I fucking loved it. So maybe I like this movie more than I let on. The end was just so fucking weird. So they split up. All right. Well, one girl, instead of looking, is just packing her shit up, which, by the way, that's me.
Yes.
Everyone's looking for this woman and she's upstairs singing, just packing her shit in a bag, just whistling like, I can't wait to get the fuck out of here. She is packing her shit. She's so happy and carefree. Attic is above her. Door opens. The fucking ladder falls down, knocks her out. It's fucking Mrs. Slater's body.
Yes. Great conversation because this is still a corpse. It's very much not alive.
Yes.
And the girls are wondering how she climbed up there.
And they don't know what to do with the body, though.
Right.
They're very confused about what to do with the body. With the attic open, though, they go upstairs. One of the girls goes upstairs.
One does. Yeah. She finds the Jack in the Box.
She finds the King Diamond music box. That dude looked just like King Diamond.
I would have to, I don't remember that sticking out to me. I wish that when it popped open though, it sang.
Dude, that's all I could think about was, I mean, maybe not just like King Diamond, but pretty close to King Diamond. Did King Diamond ever have like the red around his mouth? Dude, it looked like King Diamond. It looked like King Diamond. Anyway, the King Diamond music box. Singing metal is up there. It'll kind of come into play a little bit. There's a King Diamond costume up there too.
It's a clown.
I hope somebody listening to this is like, holy shit, that sounds awesome. Like King Diamond references. They watch it like, it's nothing like King Diamond. It's a fucking jester. But there's like, they're seeing like fucking giant baby toys and shit. It's fucking, or no, that's later on. This woman just catches a cane to the chest.
Yes.
While looking at the music box.
Looking at the Jack in the Box. Yeah.
Yep. She catches a cane. She's done. The other girls, I guess, have run out of good ideas because they've decided to dispose of Miss Slater's body. They are going to put it in a dumpster and roll the dumpster down the street.
The street. It's the most...
Where they're taking it?
It's honestly the most suspicious thing I could think of.
In putting a body in a dumpster is like the first place everyone looks for a body.
Right.
And it's always where the body is. Putting a body in a dumpster and then rolling it into plain sight is the worst idea I've ever heard of in my life. But I guess that's what they've come up with.
You ever see that guy who got caught? He killed someone. He was younger. He was a neighbor in the complex of the person that was killed, and he put the body in the trash, and he was counting on like the garbage men to just throw the bags in, but somebody parked like illegally, so they couldn't get to it. So the police found the body, and while the news was interviewing him, they're interviewing him as like a person, like a witness. He's like, yeah, I knew her. She was real good. And they're like, well, what do you think happened now that they found the body? And like his entire expression changed. He's like, what? And they're like, yeah, they just found the body. And he like sat down and like put his hand over
get
his
the
mouth.
Fuck out of
he
here.
Was like, oh, that's shocking.
Oh, and, my God. And the, got the, chills.
The police noticed how much he changed. So they went and interviewed him and they found him guilty.
This is the best story ever.
Yeah, you have to look that up.
Holy shit. Yeah. Oh, I got the chills, though. That's fucking disturbing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'll look it up.
I used to live in an apartment called Murder Manor.
Sounds
Stanford.
Good.
Yeah, it was not.
When did you live in Stanford?
Just for a little bit, for a hot minute. Murder Manor. Yeah. Multiple times. A lot of murders down there. Always rolled up in the carpet and thrown in the dumpster, too.
Yeah, they never learn.
It's so fucking weird. At the same place. The same fucking complex. Fucking crazy. Girl gets a cane to the chest. Roll the corpse away in a dumpster. Katie is now snooping in the attic. That's when we start seeing the costume, the music box a little more, giant baby toys. And the dummy date shows up. And he just starts fucking with all the toys and whatever. And they find a dead bird, which for some reason... They're not alarmed by all this shit in the attic. It's clearly used. They're like, they see a dead bird. They're like, my God, something terrible is afoot. One of the separated girls, she's in a van because they were going to move her in a van originally. Not really sure what she's doing, but she catches a cane through the moonroof.
Yeah.
She gets stabbed as shit. The three girls pushing the dumpster push it into a police car.
Yep.
Now, who's dumber? The girls pushing a dumpster into a police vehicle or the cop letting it happen? Because they are moving this dumpster at 0 miles per hour.
Yes. And he's watching. He's looking
at them. He's sitting in the fucking car looking at them. And he is pissed. And they almost get got, but he gets called away, thankfully. Another girl outside the house can't keep track of these gals.
That was Jeannie. I did write that one down. Oh, wow.
Jeannie.
She's the one that gets attacked. That's
outside.
Right?
Outside
but,
the house.
But she survives.
She survived. She's the first survivor. She gets out. She runs into the house, locks the doors, goes up to Katie. She's like... I almost got caught, but I got this necklace. And it's Mrs. Slater's necklace.
Yep.
So they call the number. It's the doc. He says, you know, just, hey, don't worry. Don't worry, guys. Just chill out. I'll be there in a minute. Well, Katie decides to leave this girl unattended. I don't know why.
Guess who shows up?
There's literally a murderer banging on the door. And the girl's just sitting there like, I don't know what to do. She finally runs. She runs into the showers. Does she turn on the showers?
I don't know who turned
the showers,
on the showers.
Come on. The showers.
But I think she's like hiding in a stall.
Yeah, she's hiding in the stall. I think she turned on the showers because it took a while for Slater to get in there. Wink, wink. Slater. Oh, no, it's Slater. Slater must turn it all on. Anyway, steams it all up nice and good. For no reason, just to get shit out of her again. Yeah, she gets fucking killed. So yeah, Katie calls the doctor. He says, "Hang tight."
Yeah.
She's like, "Is something wrong?" Yeah,
Katie. Something's very wrong, Katie.
A lot is wrong. A lot is going wrong. Katie says someone's attacked. She's kind of playing coy. She's not telling the doctor exactly what happened. Just that people are being attacked, and they don't know where Miss Slater is. They just found her necklace. Two of the van chicks. They have the body now. They've taken it out of the dumpster. Put it in the van. They go to the cemetery. One of the most genius ways to hide a body, in my opinion. They go to the cemetery. There's a grave already dug. So they're like, we'll just shovel 2 more feet. So in my head, I was like, this is dumb because they need to put a casket in there. Not thinking, shovel 2 feet, put in the body, bury it.
Up.
Then they'll bury the real person on top of it.
Yes.
The next day. Great idea.
Not terrible.
I mean, it would never work. But alas, that's what they do. They'll be dead soon. Don't worry. Katie shows the doctor the shitty attic. But something's up, man. Something ain't right. Katie ain't telling him everything, and the doc's being kind of weird.
The doc reveals to her
everything,
and that Eric was going to be the name of the son.
Yeah,
and that's why they close the boarding house or the hospital, whatever.
Before June 19th every year, because that's his birthday. Yeah. And then in a really funny, I honestly laughed out loud at this. They find a card, a birthday card sitting there, and it says it's to Eric. Okay, so like obviously you'd be like, oh shit. But they're like, huh? The doctor, and like typical, like you wonder why there's like horror tropes and it's like shit like this, because he like opens the card and he's like, oh Lord, she's writing cards to her unborn baby. It's like, I mean, I guess it's more believable than that the baby survived.
Which, I mean, we might as well just say it.
The baby survived.
It fucking did.
Yeah, the baby survived and Eric is alive, and that's who's
which why is the doctor surprised?
How does the doctor not know?
No, he does.
The doctor...
He does, because he drugs Katie so he can capture Eric.
I thought it was...
Dude,
I think he
did. It's like an elephant gun. What is he going to do?
No. I don't think he knew until he got there and then was like, oh shit. Because when he finds
it, he pieced it together?
Yeah.
But he delivered Eric.
I know. So what is that? So what happened?
That is the question.
This is where my problem with the movie is, because what the fuck happened? So either, and this is going to sound like really fucking insensitive or whatever, but he throws Eric in the trash can when he's a baby, right?
I would assume that's not what he did.
So, okay, so we have a couple options. He either threw Eric away.
No, I have it right here.
And sorry. Eric escaped. Oh, you
I
do?
I have it right here.
Where did you get this from?
It's Wiki page. After forcibly giving Katie a sedative upon returning to the house, Dr. Beck reveals that Slater had a son named Eric who was horribly deformed and mentally underdeveloped thanks to an illegal fertility treatment he had been giving her.
Right.
Right. So he never thought that Eric was dead. He was just seriously deformed and mentally unstable.
Yeah, but then why did he tell Slater that the baby was gone?
Well, he didn't. All he said was, I'm sorry.
Oh. All right.
So it goes back to that.
So we all got punked.
We did.
We all got. What a prank. What a fucking prank. Okay, so that makes sort of sense.
It makes more sense.
It makes a lot more sense. Because my issue was like, did he throw him away and Eric just like crawled the fuck out? or what the fuck happened where was the miscommunication?
Dr. Beck's very much aware, because that's why at the beginning he was saying to, like, you can't just leave. You can't just retire, because that guy lives in the attic. What the fuck am I going to do with this?
Sell the house with the man in the attic. That's so funny. Okay, so that's cool. All right, well, we figured that out. Everyone is probably so mad.
Everyone else knew?
Yeah. Everyone was like, what the fuck?
These two clueless kids.
You fucking... stoners. Wow. Okay, well, so that solves a lot, and we just talked about the whole end of the movie. So
yeah, so that's it.
That's the end of the fucking movie. So they find dead ass Slater. Slater's fucking dead. She actually ends up, I thought there was going to be a swerve with what was in the fucking
the bag,
because the whole time they never show dead Slater. And then finally, after Katie reveals everything that's gone on, doctor's like, all right, well, let me fucking take a look. And that's when I thought we were going to get our twists or whatever it is.
No, it's her.
She dead.
Dead as fuck.
She fucking dead. And that's when you know Eric's on the fucking loose. And he's the one committing all these heinous atrocities. Heinous. Jesus. Back at home, Katie finds all of her dead homies in the pool, though. So that ain't cool.
Yeah. All the lights are on. They're all floating.
They're all dead.
Dr. Beck drugs her.
Yep. So, and we get some fucking trippy
shit. Tripping balls.
She is higher than a kite, and she's seeing all of her dead friends. She's seeing Miss Slater. She's seeing a cane spinning on the floor. It was fucking crazy.
I liked
it. It wasn't bad.
But he did that to use her as bait. She's pretty much tied to a chair waiting. He's waiting for Eric to come in so he can shoot him with a tranquilizer gun. Dr. Beck sucks at all of this.
Oh, Dr. Beck's the fucking garbagest criminal ever. Oh, I did want to say, so back to where I was saying horror directors are like way too honest with their shit. So there's a scene after you kind of have an idea it's Eric. But they still haven't done the reveal. And you see the shadow of somebody killing these girls. It's the girls at the cemetery that are getting killed. And you see the shadow of Mrs. Slater killing them. Now, the shadow is made to look like Mrs. Slater, but it is most definitely not Mrs. Slater.
Right.
And in my head, I'm just like, if you're the director, you're trying to go for the twist. Why not just actually use Mrs. Slater? Why are you being honest and showing the weird freak?
Right.
Like with his weird hair that kind of looks like Slater. It was fucking weird to me. Like, I'm just like, what? That's so weird to do that. Like, just you're like too honest. Like, you're like, well, we don't want to lie to the viewer. Just be mean. But yeah. So where are we? Doc's just a fucking piece of shit. He's drugged her.
Eric shows up.
Yeah.
And just kills the doctor.
Yeah.
Hacks him the fucking pizzas.
Yeah. Fucking crazy. He goes over the railing too. They show his... There isn't a lot of gore in this movie, first of all.
A lot of the kills are like off screen.
Yeah, or just being punctured and no blood coming out. But there are two really gory, quick glimpses. One is the doctor's face, which is just fucking obliterated. Katie, in a moment, goes to attack Eric, tries to shoot Eric, but the gun doesn't fire. And we see the doctor's face and Katie freaks out. And then later on, Katie finds her friend's head in the toilet. And it's like the goriest thing I've ever seen. Fucking blood everywhere. It's fucking wild. But both of those are pretty good. So doctor's done, right?
Yes.
We see Eric's face so briefly too. I felt like that was a missed opportunity. He's really not. And it's kind of sucks, honestly, but,
whatever.
She runs into the bathroom, finds a decapitated head. Yep. She goes back up to the attic, sets up the Jack in the Box, trying to lure Eric in there.
Yep.
Which I'm not.
Eric is also now wearing a clown costume.
Yeah, and she starts hallucinating again. And the clown is up. Eric has climbed into the clown costume. But she kills him by ripping off a doll's head.
Using the pins.
The what?
The pins that were sticking out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stabs him in the throat.
Stabs him in the fucking throat. Fucks him up.
He falls through the attic hatch.
Very unsafe child's toy, too, by the way.
Very.
That head just, like, pops off and there's
terrifying.
A fucking knife.
Having under. A kid now? Like, oh, my God.
He falls down the stairs of the attic. And in the least dramatic ending ever, it's literally just focused on his dead face.
His eyes open.
His eyes open.
You're like, oh no, what's next?
What's next for Eric, who's been stabbed in the trachea 16 times? He'll probably die a painful death.
Yeah, slow, can't call for help.
Just slowly dying on the
floor. With his eyes,
with his eyes wide open. And that's the end of The House on Sorority Row.
Yeah.
It's on Shudder. It's on
Prime?
Amazon Prime. Maybe Shudder too. I don't know. I don't fucking know. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for all the support. You guys have been messaging us a ton. We're on, what are we on now? We're fucking Vero. Done with Twitter. We're fucking done. We're gonna be the leaders of this fucking charge. People are thanking us.
I would like to take credit for...
For bringing me to Vero?
Yes.
Yeah, Joe brought me to Vero. I fucking love it.
It's cool because it's just mostly... For a podcast that focuses on movies, It's just you can post what movies you're watching. Like, you type in the movie, it comes up as watching or did watch, and you can leave comments on it. Right. You can do the same with music. You can post full YouTube videos. I love Instagram. Like, Instagram is my second favorite.
Yeah, it's good.
I like putting the stories.
A lot of fun shit.
A lot of fucking bullshit goes into when you have to upload a video. File. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't share what you're experiencing.
Yeah, Vero's cool.
And specifically for this show, I feel like in particular, one where we talk about just whatever the fuck we want. We'll talk about ODB. We'll talk about whatever the fuck we want. King Diamond. Now, on show release day, we can fucking post fucking King Diamond videos.
The whole video.
What we're watching, it automatically... Dude, the what you're watching is my favorite. Cause so you can do... It's like how Facebook used to be, where you could be like, Sean Miller is watching and you could like plug in what you were doing, but it automatically pulls the data for you. So you just start, like, you type in the stuff and it pulls up the stuff, but you get to select which poster too. It pulls like tons of posters,
right?
And you get to select which image you want to use, which I thought was dope.
I'm a fan of it. I think it's the way to go.
I think it's amazing. They just need to get their shit together because it's kind of buggy.
You know, it's been around for like 4 years.
Dude, I looked it up in 2015.
Zack Snyder's been like, he's like the main guy. Been using it since like inception.
It's fucking amazing though. It's really fucking great. So we're on Vero. It's a little different to search for us on Vero.
Just find us.
Yeah, this is but that's what it is. You just search our name. So you're going to, you might want to change your fuck. I don't know. So his name's under Joseph Vitello. Mine's Sean Miller. You can find us. You can also go to my Instagram page so you can like look at the way I spell my name, I guess. It's got my cartoon fucking face on it. So you'll see it. You'll fucking see it. And then once you get, if you can get to mine, then you'll see I introduced Joe.
It is kind of tough to find people.
Well, because it's also like a privacy thing, which I do appreciate. Because
that is a great point, because Vero's not paying us. I don't know why we're talking so much about this, but
pulling a fucking
you can choose who you share to. Like you could post something and just share to people who you chose as like acquaintances. You can share to everybody. You can share to like
close friends. It's a great concept. It's a great fucking concept. And yeah, we're pulling a fucking, what's the guy with the fucking big neck? I can't think of his name.
No neck?
No. Fucking George from Cannibal Corpse.
Wait, you know Corpse Grinder's first name like that? Fucking George?
Corpse Grinder. We're pulling a Corpse Grinder and just promoting shit we have nothing to do with. That fucking Target video is the most promoting an app, like selling this app, like he's making millions off of it. He's just like, I just love it. Anyway, that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So check us out on Vero. I'm on Instagram and Snapchat at I Hate Horror.
I'm at Boognish 1985 and Horror Show Joe.
Yeah. That's it. Thank you guys. Stuff next week. The stuff is on Shudder. It's not on Prime. So check out Shudder, I guess. Cool service. Like, they got a bunch of exclusives. Anyway, that's it, guys. Thank you so much. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
That's it, guys.